B-Pod Studios.
Tub. Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Walled it, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, singer, songwriter, and officer of the Order of Canada, from the rock band Rush, Mr. Geddy Lee.
Hello, I'm Geddy Lee, and if you're like me, winter means one thing, tobogganing. Tobogganing's fun, but safety comes first. Don't be a hero. Pick a hill that's not too steep. Small children and people worried about their brain should always wear a helmet. Today we'll be using a traditional wooden toboggan. Remember, when you make your run, to keep your hands and feet in at all times. Then let out a scream and don't be afraid to give her.
A modern day warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. A modern day warrior, mean, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean pride. Though his mind is not for rent, don't put him down as arrogant. His reserve, a quiet defense, riding out the day's events. The river.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. We're in the Town Fairs Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. And that is the voice of Geddy Lee, who is scheduled to join the show as of now. It is at 9:45, but it's we are efforting to get him on at 8:45. A feeling Geddy Lee not a big sleeper. I would have a feeling that he has no problem getting up. He's promoting his big book of bass,
mm-hmm.
which I believe is about a 100-pound coffee table book of all the bases that he owns and the stories behind the bases.
I think we have a few of those to give away this morning, too.
Oh, my friend, we have many to give away.
So they're going to send us a box that's about 300 pounds.
Yeah. And then they can get a freight truck to take them wherever they need to go.
I am legitimately excited about this interview. I can't wait. And I know that, Fred, you've done a lot of research, so you have a lot of different questions.
Oh, I just heard Eddie Trunk interview the man. I mean, once Eddie Trunk interviews someone... Eddie Trunk, who was on that metal show, he's tackled such questions as which Saxon album is the best. I heard him interview a band that I don't even remember the name. You know who I'm talking about.
I mean, there's so many randos that come on there. I mean, Saxon's the one that you said that...
Saxon was when it was on that metal show, and he was like, I know it's almost impossible, but is your favorite record Denim and Leather or whatever the hell other record they have?
I couldn't even name that one.
And they're like, like Florentine was on it. And they're like scratching their heads like, I don't know. It's so tough to say.
Right.
Yeah. So, the Eddie Trunk podcast, it's a... Phil Collin and Marty Friedman, Stephen Piercy, Tom Kiefer.
Those are all big names. Those are all, like, legitimate names.
George Lynch and Michael Sweet.
Michael Sweet from Striper.
Charlie Starr from Blackberry Smoke.
I don't know that.
Yngwie Malmsteen and Carmine Appice.
Okay, I know Yngwie Malmsteen.
Yeah, Jack Blades from Night Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
Phil X, who's the Bon Jovi guitarist.
Phil X is the Bon Jovi guitarist? Is he the guy who filled in for what's his name? Who's the guitarist of Richie Sambora?
Yeah.
Okay. So, like, I hated Bon Jovi back in the day because they were a boy band. Like, somebody else wrote their music. They're pretty boys. They got up there. And in an era where you had Motley Crue and you had Guns N' Roses, guys who were writing their own music and living these lifestyles, here came the hair metal version of New Kids on the Block, and I hated them. However, Richie Sambora was the one tiny semblance of cool that they had because that dude killed. Like, he was a shredder. And, like, you know, when he did the Wanted Dead or Alive thing, I always thought that was pretty fantastic, the acoustic thing. They did it, the MTV Awards back in the day. And then when he left the band, it's just like, all right, what do you got now? Now well, you're literally a boy band.
Have you, Bob Daisley, who's in a Gary Moore tribute band?
See, those would be the funny ones I don't want to listen to. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's like, the when you have no idea who the people are.
Okay, let me see who. Kix is the one that I listen to.
See, I actually kind of liked Kix.
Like Aldo Nova?
Oh, Aldo Nova sucked. Blood on the bricks. Blood on the bricks. Is that Aldo Nova?
Fantasy is Aldo Nova.
Children of the Sun.
Jolynn Turner, former Rainbow and Deep Purple frontman.
All right, that's pretty funny. Like, that's pretty great. Like, nobody knows who they are. They probably treat him like royalty.
Let me see here.
They probably had a deli tray and everything at the set.
Wolf Hoffman from Accept?
Is that the little guy?
I'd have to imagine.
I've got the bassist for Accept.
Yeah.
That's what, by the way, Balls to the Wall is one of the funniest Beavis and Butthead videos they ever watched.
Yeah, Beavis and Butthead, their movie's on now. It doesn't really stand up.
The TV show does. Like, I don't know how I came across it, but it's tough to find the Beavis and Butthead where they still show the music videos. Like, if you go and you find them on, like, you know, Apple TV or whatever, like old ones, it's just the episodes, and it's not them sitting and watching the videos. And somehow, probably on, like a YouTube-type channel or whatever like that, I found one where they're sitting and they're making fun of, like, which one was it? The Balls to the Wall one was great. But then they, you know, of course, had the ones for Smoking Banana Peels. There were some great ones.
Biford and Scott Gorman, who are both opening up for Judas Priest, North American Firepower Tour.
All right.
I mean, there's a lot of good stuff here.
So Getty's in town, and he's coming in town.
Yes!
Tomorrow, I think. I should probably get all these details right before he comes on.
we'll get him.
We'll get him before we have him on the show, but he's signing his book, and I just have to think that every guitar center in New England is closed. Like, I mean, they just said, just don't even show up.
He's going to be in Brookline.
Right. It's like whenever Dream Theater's in town, they just say, don't even bother coming in, Guitar Center employees.
There's going to be a lot of fun.
How many times have you seen Rush live?
Once.
Okay. I think I've seen them like five.
Ooh. I've seen Rush live more often than you have, Fred.
How many times have you seen Rush?
Twice.
You've only seen them twice?
Yeah.
See, you just look like...
I know what I look like. I'm well aware.
Someone who's like...
it's shocking. Yes, only twice. And once was with you guys.
You know, they should just turn every women's bathroom at a Rush concert into a men's bathroom. I mean, you go and it's like...
It was remarkable the night that we were there. That's true.
Finding a woman at a Rush show is shockingly... impossible
to
do.
They talk about that in the documentary. Rick Emmett from Triumph.
I don't even know a Triumph song. I know that they were always like on biker jackets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
See, Dan knows a song called Fight the Good Fight. I've never even heard that song.
The members of Alter Bridge?
Well, that's the Creed. It's the Creed band. Yes.
Okay, what band is Jeff Pilson from? Because I know.
Oh, Jeff Pilson, is he Tesla?
Yeah, but now he's playing for Foreigner.
Okay, all right.
So, I mean, this is the kind of guys that he gets. But anyway, I heard the interview that he did with Geddy Lee, and it is excitement personified. There is going to be a lot going on. So I look forward to that very much.
Yeah, those are, it's those shows, I saw them, trying to think the first time I saw them. Because, I mean, I was like really young. I think their first album was 70, like in the 70s. So I was barely alive when they first started playing.
Their first album might have been in the late 60s.
Really? Their first one with Fly By Night was in the 60s?
I think it might have been. I think the original Rush album might have been in like 69.
Okay. Because the first concert I saw was Around the Bounds, where they had the rapping skeleton.
Because you have to remember their hits were like the three albums that were actually mainstream hits were in the early 80s. And they had been around for a while.
They had been. And then they had a little bit of a resurgence in the early 90s. with Presto and Roll the Bones.
Yes.
Got a little bit of MTV play.
You couldn't get away from them.
But they got the MTV play. I mean, they were kind of all right.
I'm going to say that Moving Pictures and...
Well, I mean, those were the mega hits. They had, what was it? Big Money Rules Around the World.
Oh, yeah, they did play that. But Big Money, Take a Cruise. But Geddy Lee will be on the show. Geddy Lee, who you can see behind the plate at many Blue Jay games. He loves it.
He's not in town yet. I was about to say, I wonder if he went to the game last night. He's calling from Chicago.
He's calling from Chicago on his book tour for the Big Book of Bass, which again is all the basses that he owns and how he got them, and who he jammed with when he would get the basses. I know he went to Australia to get one of the basses, but he used to have. I think he gave a lot of it away, but he used to have one of the largest collections of baseball memorabilia. But now he collects something else, which might be basses. I don't know. But it's the big, beautiful book of bass, as opposed to the small, crappy book of bass.
Tomorrow at 6 p.m., he's going to be at the Brookline Booksmith.
Yeah, there's enough room. Brookline Books, good luck if you're in Coolidge Corner.
I'm not kidding you. Dude, it's going to be packed tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely packed.
It's going to be guys that, have really good jobs. It's going to be guys who haven't wasted their lives on fruitless endeavors.
I would have gone if I wasn't in a town.
I'm just thinking about the 911 calls from the Brookline people.
Oh, how
I see this
mean?
Weird guy hanging out near Zaptics.
We have a lot of guys with jean jackets on.
No. Can you imagine?
A lot of ne'er-do-wells.
911 people are going to be flooded tomorrow night.
There's a lot. What's the problem with like the pentagram and the guy reaching
hemispheres.
For it? Yeah, like we have some Satanists in the place.
That's right.
Listen to, hemispheres. Hemispheres, very difficult to play live. It took them a long time to do it. So if you're, that's all we're going to talk about today is Rush. So if you're into it, there you go.
I can't wait. This is going to be. I can't wait because first of all, I'm just excited to finally tell Geddy Lee about the bit we one time did with Teddy Bruschi, Geddy Bruschi.
Yeah, he's going to go. Football's barbaric. All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
Oh, the Red Sox. They're frustrating. Well, let's get to what happened last night. Hey, at least, the savior came in and basically fits right in with the rest of the rotation.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan did real well last night.
All right, so we will find out all about that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Dutcher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed. It's Dutcher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, Andrew Kashner, the Santa Claus-looking savior of the Red Sox, made his debut yesterday, and it looks like he'll fit into this rotation just fine.
There's a deep drive by Smoke out to right field. Betts going back, turning around. It'll sail into the bleachers. And Smoke, with his second RBI of the ball game, has the lead back for Toronto immediately off of Kashner.
Yep, and Redbeard gets rocked. The debut of Andrew Kashner, a big steamer as he gave up 6 runs, 5 earned on 8 hits, including 2 homers, 2 walks, a hit batsman, and a wild pitch over 5 innings plus. He also had a guy reach base on a 3rd strike that went to the backstop, so it just couldn't have gotten much worse when you take a look at the entire picture. But if the 5-4 hole wasn't bad enough for the Red Sox, the 9th inning was nail and coffin time.
And a line drive, base hit, and they'll score another run. Off into right field, Guerrero with the single. That will plate Sogard. And this one getting away, 8-4 now.
And Guerrero using a nice stroke there, going to the opposite field with that line drive.
Mancora out of the dugout.
That is Nesson, and the Blue Jays blow the doors wide open in the ninth. Four runs against Heath Embry and Ryan Weber, and that was that. I was watching that game last night, and I was just thinking to myself, gorgeous night. These people probably paid a zillion dollars to go to this game, and you have to sit and watch the Jays, who are, what, 25 games out of first?
They're one of the worst four teams in the majors. And
Smoke is, he's got a slugging percentage of 421.
Yeah, he's hitting just over 200 for the season.
Oh, 216, John.
Yep, you're right.
Improved a little bit.
It's a little bit, yeah, considering who he's facing. I don't know why I put myself through this, but I was still operating under the assumption that the Red Sox would be able to pull things together. There are enough bad teams in the American League to give themselves a run at it, and eventually they'll wake up and beat some good teams and make the playoffs. The division's out of reach. I mean, you watch what the Yankees are doing. That lineup is impossible to top, and if they get any pitching at all, they're going to win the division. The Red Sox are what they are. We're about 100 games into the season. It's we've gone beyond World Series hangover time. They are what they are. And they're a slightly above mediocre team that has a chance to make backdoor second wild card. And even if they win that wild card game, they'll lose in the divisional round of the playoffs. It's embarrassing at times because I can't tell you how bad a team Toronto is. I mean, if you haven't looked at the Major League standings, and who can blame you for not looking, but they're horrible. And Baltimore's just as bad. And for some reason, the Red Sox can't. In order to contend, because the margin for error is so slim, you have to destroy teams like this.
Yeah, and sure.
Watching what happened last night, they're not it. They can't do it. They're not any good this year, and they have such a mammoth payroll. It's disgusting.
Well, they have the biggest in baseball. And you know, you sound like me last year with the Celtics. It's like, you know, you just keep thinking they're going to get it together. There was expectations for them to get it together.
Yeah.
And I remember at one point in the season, I just said, these games aren't fun to watch anymore. Like, I know that, you know, putting on the game, and I know for you, you like to have it on constantly, and I know you watch, whereas I have it on in the background, you like to watch intently. At some point, don't you just tell yourself, this isn't worth my time?
Yeah.
Like, it's not worth the investment?
I'm getting to that point where I no longer care. And you know what? It's interesting because I think the rest of those people that are actually paying attention to the Red Sox aren't going to care in about a week when the Patriots come to training camp.
Well, I mean, that's...
So it's another week, and those that actually care about the Red Sox now can turn them off and go to Foxborough and enjoy the rest of the summer. I mean, this team is not worth watching or paying attention to. At the moment.
Well, it's supposed to rain tomorrow, too, for the
afternoon game, which you were considering going to, right?
Businessman special. No, I'm not going to go.
Well, so the Sox now sit 10 games behind the Yankees.
Parade of relievers that are wearing 60s and 70s coming out of the bullpen. Just, it's awful to watch. It's just painfully bad to watch.
Well, you got Eovaldi coming. He's going to save everything.
That's 11, right.
11 in the loss column.
Provided they can get to the ninth with a lead, yes.
I know. Here's the new pitcher, Andrew Cashner. On the crud that was on display at Fenway last night.
Yeah, I think they made some adjustments, but I also had a long layoff, so it's like I just felt like I was more rusty than anything. I don't feel like I commanded my fastball like I normally do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, listen.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, good.
You looked real good before you got here.
His regular season record's pretty ridiculously bad. Like, I was just, what was it, like 40,
oh, in his career?
40 and 80 or something?
No,
like that?
In his career, he's almost 30 games under 500, but he actually was pitching well for Baltimore this year. He's 9-3. Baltimore is the worst team in Major League Baseball, and anyone who's 9-3 has got to be pitching well, but then he got to Fenway and crapped the bed. It's no one in this rotation can do anything on a consistent basis.
Well, it just seems like now there's not much left for Alex Cora to say, so here he is once again saying they got to do better.
Obviously, there's other teams that have swung the bat well against us, but it seems like they're putting good at-bats, you know. Guys that are not having great years are putting good at-bats against us, you know. You look at the numbers, and not average, but the other stuff, you know, and it's like, you know, it's surprising.
Yeah, I take it back. David Price has pitched very well when he doesn't run his pitch count over 105 innings. Or is being babied by the manager to save him for later. You can't save David Price for anything at the moment. You need as many wins as you can lay your hands on. I mean, it's getting to be go time here. The time for, like, pacing yourself is over. I just don't get it.
It's go time!
Same team as last year. A lot of the same players as last year. Now, the bullpen is atrocious. I don't think anybody could pick four of those guys out of a lineup, but okay. I mean, this is what $220 million buys you.
Well, Alex Cora says that it's time to start making adjustments and start doing it tomorrow.
You know, we can be up 8-0 and they keep fighting it, or they can add on like tonight. You know, it's something that I know they're better offensively. You know, there's some guys over there that have made some adjustments in the minor leagues and have got here. The other guys that, you know, they got called up, you know, and they control the strike zone and put quality of bats, but it's kind of like either, you know, we have to make adjustments with them. It's something that, you know, it has to start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because the at-bats are great since they won.
I don't know what Alex Cora is going to say.
The two guys who hit home runs, Teoscar Hernandez just got called up from AAA. He's hitting 200, and Smoke's hitting 216. And they both hit like 420-foot rockets off your brand-new starting pitcher.
Now, that's do you give Betts a massive deal if you're the Red Sox?
Someone's going to.
I didn't say someone wasn't. I'm saying if you're the Red Sox, do you give him a massive deal?
Just like Betts has done with them each of the last two summers, you have to wait and see what he does next year. I mean, they've tried to get Mookie signed, and Mookie has bet on himself. Well, right.
Betts not coming through.
Not right now, no. No, he's been just as mediocre as others at times.
Yep. I don't know. I don't know if he warrants that kind of money.
I think ultimately, when all is said and done, he'll get that type of money.
But if you were the Red Sox, I didn't say he wouldn't get that type of money from someone. And if you look at the way that Harper and Machado sat around, then I wonder how long Betts has to sit around before he gets that kind of cash.
I think the Red Sox pony up and sign him, or try to anyway.
Probably will, considering what they gave Sale for no reason.
Uncapped sports are just stupid. It's like, just okay, pay him. You know, it's like,
they have a luxury tax. Yeah, they do, and that's forced teams like the Yankees to get down to about $211 million of salary instead of $250. So even the Dodgers had to cut payroll. I mean, that luxury tax line has kept the bigger market teams from going out of sight with payroll. You know, the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Dodgers, I believe, are all still over $200 million, but there's a line they won't cross.
Yeah, and that's the line into being total bad boys.
Well, Xander Bogaerts had a little dinger at the beginning of the game. Yeah, unfortunately, you're not going to see that highlight much at all today.
Yeah, he smoked one over the old fence-a-roo.
But he realizes it's extremely frustrating to get in any kind of groove when you win, you lose, you win, you lose, you win, you lose.
I mean, you can't go on a roll if you win one, lose one. And I think we all are aware of that. It seems to not happen as of yet. Still got another couple more games to go, and I think we should take it the same like we did closing out the first half. Mm-hmm.
These guys got to be like hummus on a roll.
She always thought more butter on a roll.
No,
right?
Sometimes
you get hummus on a roll.
If you're at a nice restaurant, you get hummus and butter.
Oh, see, I always think like pita. Or like,
no, I was thinking pita bread too.
Yeah,
hummus.
Well, you know, maybe you open your eyes a little bit and go somewhere where it's
more classy.
Where it's not a buffet.
Hummus and butter on a roll.
They usually give you hummus and butter. But you jabronis don't know anything with your bottle service. Did you go to Encore yesterday?
I did. I do want to talk about it because there was some kind of funny stuff that happened.
Did you gamble? Yes or no?
I did.
I knew it.
I did.
I knew it. I mean, couldn't that resist. Was easy to spot. Yeah. I knew that was
couldn't resist.
Happen. Oh, of course.
Couldn't resist the Lady Luck.
Could not help myself. Nope.
Couldn't resist that Lady Luck.
No.
All right, Rich, what do we have coming up?
All right.
We discussed the Red Sox for enough today.
Uh-huh.
Now, what are we
Time's
going
to...
Time's
up.
Time is up.
No matter what, even in the offseason, the NBA absolutely rules. Charles Barkley calls out two superstars in the NBA. Also, we're getting a little introduction of the newest Celtics Hall of Famer today, this afternoon. I think 1 o'clock, I believe, is the press conference for Kemba Walker.
Mm-hmm. And, my son's going to be there.
Oh, he's going to the press conference?
Yeah, he's at the Celtics camp, and they said it's a big treat. They get to watch the Kemba Walker press conference.
Oh, nice. Oh, that'll be nice.
Because they're over there in Brighton.
Yeah, right there at the Arbach Center.
Arbach Center, yep. They're going to be there, and he'll realize the joy of going to a press conference.
Give me a ball. Where can I go shoot?
The excitement of sitting there and watching people raise their hands and asking benign questions. It is something else. All right, here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich. 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, what else is going on?
Well, today is the day. Future Hall of Famer and guy who's better than Kyrie Irving in every way, Kemba Walker's introductory press conference is going to be at 1 p.m. Fred's son will be on the scene.
They're letting all the campers watch. Nothing more exciting than a press conference,
I'm sure. But for the kids, that's kind of cool. They're getting to meet like a a Celtic star. I'm sure he's going to take a couple photo ops. Oh, you see, I have a feeling Kemba Walker. I mean, Kemba Walker's not going to not go talk to these
kids.
Well,
they saw him yesterday, and a hat pulled over his eyes and walked right past everybody.
Oh, Kemba Walker?
Yeah.
Oh, how dare he do that? But the cameras are there today.
Not good.
No, I don't think that he's going to be shaking hands. I think they're going to bring him out, and then it's going to be blah, 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 and then he will go right back.
Who's running that camp? Is it Tatum?
No.
Because Tatum has a camp. I know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A camp for underachievers? Yeah, they're no, it is. It's just the Celtics. It's not any particular Celtics player that I know of.
I just know that
Taco Fall was there.
Oh,
they didn't talk to him, but Taco Fall, they were behind a screen. You weren't supposed to look behind, but you know what? That's not how winners are made. Sometimes you gotta take your chances.
Mr. Taco Fall is a huge fan, and from one LeBron James. LeBron James recorded a little video of him hanging out with Anthony Davis. And here's what he had to say on this video.
How do you guys love my T-shirt? It's Tuesday somewhere, so you know what that means. It's Taco Tuesday. Dior, what is it today? Bryce, what is it?
Taco Tuesday.
Savannah, what is it? It's Taco Tuesday. Why are you so cold? We got new people here for Taco. What is it? Taco Tuesday. You think you're out of it, Ronnie? What is it?
Taco Tuesday.
All right, that's enough out of you, LeBron James.
All right, he's just a regular guy like the rest of us.
He's just looking at him, just palling around.
Are they in front of kids?
Yes.
Yeah, I hate when people talk like that to kids. I really do. Like,
I don't even talk to my kids that way.
No, you can talk to your kids however you want, but like when you're playing your kids are playing a sport and they're little and they're like, okay, no, just talk to them like human beings. I mean, don't be negative, but you don't have to sit there and scream like an idiot. Kids are like, wait, I don't understand what you're saying unless you scream like an idiot.
Well, all that cutesy talk was going on. People in Vegas were probably putting money down on futures because the NBA over-unders on games predicted to be won in this season were announced yesterday. And at the top of the heap is who? The over-unders, like the games, like on games won for this upcoming NBA
Milwaukee.
Season. Milwaukee, no. They are in second with 54.5 games predicted to be won. First, that would be the Los Angeles Clippers, predicted to win the most games with 55.5. That's a lot for a very tough conference.
Getting my hair cut yesterday, someone went on and on and on about how wrong you were about Philadelphia.
About Philadelphia?
And that they did have outside shooting.
Who did they say is going to be that person?
They said, let me look at that. Let me go over
here. Tobias Harris, I mean, I would say that he's, probably a guy. But, they got rid of a lot of outside shooting.
No, they got rid of a one-trick pony outside shooter
Well, they got rid of Jimmy Butler, who's a good outside shooter.
Yeah, but they say that.
I mean, you can't just.
Jimmy Butler, they said, was only there for like a month.
Yeah, and he was very good.
No, they got Butler before they got Harris.
But no, but Butler was not there for a tremendous amount of time.
I thought he was. He was like, got him. It wasn't the trade deadline. They got him earlier than that. Remember, he shot his way out of town. He bitched and stuff over.
Yeah, but they got him during the season. He wasn't there for very long. I mean, he wasn't like a game changer for them.
See, he was a game changer.
No, see, that's the beef they had with you.
But he's the best player on the team. I mean, you could say maybe Joel Embiid is, you know, almost as good, but I think we could all argue that Jimmy Butler was probably the best player on that team, correct?
He was the guy in the playoffs. The way I remember it, Butler was there for well over half the season. They got him early in the season, Philadelphia did.
Yeah, he shot his way out of town. Remember that weird interview that he did with Rachel Nichols?
Yeah.
When he was up there?
Tobias Harris shot 40% from three-point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so, I mean, he's definitely an outside shooter.
But you got a guy in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, your two biggest stars. And I know that Joel Embiid can shoot the three, but, I mean, that's not what he's relied on doing. That's not his gig. That's
but
what,
he can.
His bread
he
is made.
Can shoot from the outside, and Al Horford can shoot from the outside as well.
November 12th was actually when Jimmy Butler was traded. Been there. He was there most of the season.
All right, well.
All but like a couple weeks.
I mean, Ben Simmons, and I know he'd shot. He doesn't shoot threes, but I mean, he was almost at 60% field goal percentage.
Who did nothing during the playoffs.
Most of it on layups and dunks.
Yeah, right. He scored 17 points a game.
Okay, but he did nothing during the playoffs. Who did better last year?
Are you arguing for Philadelphia or against Philadelphia? You're against Philadelphia.
No, I think Philadelphia is a worse team than they were last year.
No, that might be so, but the Eastern Conference is now missing a lot of star power. I think Philadelphia, as I said yesterday, a clear number two.
But anyone who thinks that they are even going to win the East, and I've heard that a lot, I don't know how you can take a look at them.
Milwaukee's the favorite, even though they're missing Brogdon. Milwaukee's the favorite, and Philadelphia is second.
Well, Fred, with your theory and your friend, Vegas seems to be... Well, Vegas seems to somewhat agree. They are very generous. They have the Milwaukee Bucks in second at 54.5 wins, and the Sixers right behind them with 53.5 wins. And he guesses as to where they have the Boston Celtics.
Say 48?
48.5.
Okay.
And the teams that they are behind are the Jazz, the Lakers, which they have at 51.5 wins, the Rockets, the Nuggets, and the Pacers.
See, the Rockets could go one way or another. I mean, that actually might work out if Westbrook decides to play nice, or it might just blow up in everybody's face.
Rockets are going to be a mess.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're going to be a beautiful team to watch.
I looked it up. Harden and Westbrook, I think, were 1-2 in touches this season. I mean, they both have to have the ball all the time. I don't know how they figured that out.
You know
it's
what?
Amazing.
When I go out to Vegas, I'm actually going to put money on the Golden State Warriors over-under because they have them behind the Celtics at 47.5. Everyone's just writing off the Golden State Warriors, which you've got Steve Kerr, one of the better coaches in the NBA. You have Draymond Green, and you have Steph Curry. And if you just have those three, your team is damn good. And you've got a championship pedigree, and you're hungry to prove the people that you can do this without. You did it without Kevin Durant the first time, and you want to be able to prove that you can do it again. Now, when's Clay coming back?
He tore his ACL.
I know, but I've heard people saying that before the end of the year. I don't put any stock into it. You think he'll be back?
I don't know when the hell he's coming back. I've heard three quarters of the way through the year.
Yeah, I've heard that as well.
I think the train will be a long way down the tracks. So you're playing in a real tough conference. And what did you say, 47.5?
47.5.
Yeah, I think maybe they get there, but it'll be close.
Even without him, I mean, as I said, if some team was to make a trade, let's say it was like Memphis, and miraculously they got Draymond Green and Steph Curry, people would be talking about how this team was going to be unbelievable.
Yeah.
They'd be drooling all over themselves. But it's because they happen to have a downer of an end of a season with Durant leaving and Klay Thompson getting hurt. You still have a killer team. And you've got, what's his name? D'Angelo Russell, which who knows what they're going to do with him. But, I mean, he's talented as hell.
And, that's a team that won a championship. I mean, they won a championship without Durant. Remember, that was the whole thing. When Durant came there, he was ring chased.
Yeah, I just don't. The way that team is just getting written off, I find hysterical. And to be quite honest, as much of a Celtics fan as I am, the fact that they have them winning, well, I guess it's the East versus West type thing, but even then, the Golden State Warriors should be winning more than the Boston Celtics. Just my opinion. Bottom of the list. Hey, what's up there, Terry Rozier? Charlotte Hornets. Guess how much they are predicted at the over-under on the Hornets?
32.
Lower.
Really?
Oh, Jesus. We're going 23.5, baby. Oh, 23.5 on the Charlotte Hornets. They're predicting big things.
I'm sure Rosie will be happy with that.
They're rebuilding. All right, Rich, what do we got coming up?
All right, we'll get to that Barkley clip, which is pretty good. And also, there's an insider who's got more information on Gronk.
That's right. Really putting myself out there. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Very little known Geddy Lee baseline. All right, Rich, what else is going on?
So Charles Barkley had to have something to say about the whole 76ers situation. You know, they just signed Ben Simmons to a $170 million contract, which, of course, I think is kind of ridiculous. But here's what Barkley had to say.
Who's your favorite to win the East?
Clearly the Philadelphia 76ers. I thought the addition of going out and getting Al Horford. And I think Tobias Harris is going to be terrific there. But let me tell you something. It's going to come down to Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. At some point, them two young players, who are both terrific young players, I want to repeat that. Two terrific young players. But Joel Embiid's got to get his fat butt in shape, and Ben Simmons got to work on his game. Jalen, when I got to Philadelphia in 1984, the most important person in my life, basketball-wise, said to me, "You fat and you lazy." And I said, "What do you mean?" Moses Malone said, "You fat and you lazy." He made me lose 50 pounds, and the rest is history. I wonder in Philadelphia, who has the courage and the chutzpah to tell Joel Embiid, "Yo, man, you got to get in shape." I wanted to have that person on the team, or the person who has to tell Ben Simmons, "Yo, man, we just gave you $170 million. Can you please work on your jump shot?"
Is Joel Embiid fat and lazy?
I never noticed that, to be honest with you.
That's a weird observation. I mean, and to be quite honest, at the end of the playoffs, I just thought that everyone was tired. I don't know if he was huffing and puffing, but I've never noticed him fat. Lazy can be one thing. Maybe lazy defense, not getting back, you know, on transition or something like that. But I've never noticed him fat. Matter of fact, I'd say he's kind of a skinny dude.
Yeah, they had him on, and then they showed him actually with a good golf shot. They showed him, he hit a good golf shot, and his face just, like, lit up.
Hey, yeah,
he was like in the bottom, like right half of the screen. And he just got this look of pure joy on his face when they were doing that.
I love that dude. If there's like one player from the NBA I can just take, I mean, other than, of course, Giannis. If there's another guy, I would love to have Joel Embiid. He's everything you want. He's a crap talker. He's, you know, legitimately great. He's young. But just the fact that someone called him fat. Send me a picture of him fat. If anyone knows what the hell Barkley's talking about, I got no idea what he's talking about there.
Barkley was legitimately fat when he came out of Auburn.
There's no question. And you take a look. I mean, he did slim down a good bit.
Yeah. But he was pretty fat in Philadelphia throughout that whole run.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But what was he, 6'6"?
Yeah.
6'6", about 270.
Yeah. And
what was his nickname? The round mound of rebound. That's what he was.
Yes. Yes.
Well, somebody knows the truth about Rob Gronkowski, according to a source who spoke to Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. There is reportedly a 40% chance that Gronk is coming out of retirement. 40%. Put it at it right there.
What a leap to take. 40%. Dear Lord.
Which is just slightly under 50%.
I know. Imagine that. What a thing to publish, too.
I wonder what that extra 10% is.
Well, You know, you don't want to just go 50%.
I'm saying, you coin flip whether or not he returns, like every year.
Like 40%, like you can't be, I might as well. Yeah, you know what, guys, 40%, I agree, 40% chance he comes back.
There's a 40% chance of everything, isn't there?
Yes, because if he doesn't come back, you've predicted that, technically. And if he does come back, you said, well, hey. I gave you a 40% chance.
A 40% chance, right.
Yeah, like, I read that. I go, like, what? Why would you even put that on the internet?
What was this? Like, and everyone reported on it, by the way.
Yeah. No, I saw it.
It's a big deal.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. 40% chance. Okay, great.
Okay.
So hey, everybody, there's a 50% chance this coin lands on tails. So everyone get in line and start your bets.
So, okay, so here's the quote. A source close to Gronkowski pegs his potential for a first annual unretirement at 40%. That's right. For now, Gronk isn't thinking about football. He's enjoying his life. He doesn't need the money, and he's having a blast. Well, we know all these things. The question becomes whether Gronkowski misses his teammates and or the games after August becomes September.
Wow.
All stuff that people said immediately after he retired.
You don't say. Wait a second. If he misses football, he's coming back? And I also like now he doesn't care.
Right.
But if in a few months he cares.
Should we just so we can get picked up in the news, say that we heard a source tell us that it's not 40%, but it's 60%.
No, I'd say it's 45%.
Go to the other end of the pendulum.
I'd go, it's 40. No, because 60% gets you in trouble.
60,
really? Because then he's favored to come back.
Right.
40 keeps you just under the radar.
Yeah.
You know, 40, so if he's wrong, say, well, I said it was less than 50-50.
Yes. And then if he comes back, you said, yeah, you know what I told you. And I gave you the scenario.
Anything under 50% and you're safe.
It's 40%. Yeah. Like right now, he has no interest in playing. But if he decides that he wants to play, he's going to come back.
So what if I say it's a 49% chance?
Yeah, you could do that. I mean, you're not going to make the news because this guy already beat you to the punch. But I read that and I'm like, what the
heck? I saw it too. Like, it got picked up everywhere.
I said to myself, I go, yeah, all right. If he wants to play football, play football. I mean, that's kind of the idea.
I should say a source.
If I
want
to go to the bathroom after this break, I'll go to the bathroom. If I don't want to, I won't.
A source at the urinal at Fenway Park told Bird while he was taking a quick work break that Gronkowski had a 49% chance that he's coming back.
Well, Bird does not have to pee with the general population. No, he goes...
You got your own spot?
Yeah.
I was unaware of that.
Okay. No, he doesn't have to go up in the stands and pee. He's got a job to do.
You just run quick up the tunnel and their bathroom's right there. Behind section 8 and 9.
I have to be honest. It happens every time there's a home game, and I laugh every single time. People just send me pictures of birds standing on the field looking confused.
Or unhappy. Or...
No. He's not actually he's looking around, obviously, to make sure nobody runs on the field.
Right.
But the dude's happy as a clam, just standing there, just looking into nothingness.
And he never looks happy to me. He always just looks like he's... Like, yeah, Bird's agreeing. He doesn't look happy. He looks like he just wants... What a bad job to have right now. I bet that job was so much better 10 years ago. Because now you're just sitting there forever. I mean, those Red Sox games take forever.
I bet the Red Sox are probably up there with the average longest game time this season.
They wrapped it up before 11 o'clock last night.
They've had like 4 or 5 marathon games this year.
4 or 5?
I mean, I'm talking like 5 that were
every
like
every game
over.
Against the Yankees at home. Every single one.
Well, or every game against the Yankees in it, 9-inning game, 4 hours and 42 minutes. There's no excuse for that.
But they've had ton that have, like I, they at did least a half dozen that are that have been well over 9 innings. I'm trying to think. They got to lead the league.
I would hope so. Or else baseball is in a much, much more difficult place than I had imagined before. They have to, because first of all, it's got to be more than any National League team. So that's right away. There's no way National League teams are going that long. So I gotta think that I would hope for baseball's sake that these are the longest games. Them or the Yankees, because other teams are bad and not just average, and other teams are bad. So those games probably go a little bit quicker. Were you looking?
I was trying to look. I've been unable to locate it in the 90 seconds that I had.
All right, nerd.
So all right. Sources say Gronk is debating between returning to the NFL and starting a skeleton slash jack-o'-lantern business.
Did you see people trying to justify his use of the word skeleton?
Yeah, because of Jack Skellington.
Yeah, right.
From The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Right, which is okay. The same thing. What a good way to put it. All right, we will not take any commercials. When we come back, Brookline is a place where people, one of the hobbies is just complaining about nothing. Due to the Freedom of Information Act, we have 911 calls that have been placed to Brookline, and we'll have that. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.